Good evening, it's 5 p.m. and this is Today in YGK on CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. Today in YGK is brought to you by CFRC's News Collective, Christina Laurie, Jesse Bell, Henry Walker, and Juliana Gonsalves. CFRC's news programming is made possible by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie. Let's start off with your local news headlines. An Indigenous arts organization is looking to the future of Lemoyne Point Farm. After Kingston City Council finalized its $12 million purchase of the property at their last meeting, Lodgepole Arts Alliance, a national charitable nonprofit supporting Indigenous artists across the country, has been advocating for the protection of the site while also advancing a vision to transform it into a publicly accessible Indigenous-led cultural space. In 2024, the organization officially announced plans to establish a land-based studio complex for culture and creativity in the Kingston region. Executive Director Terry Lynn Brennan says that the vision was born out of a gap identified not only in Ontario, but across the country.
There really isn't a publicly accessible, Indigenous-owned, operated, programmed space that has been designed and built from the ground up that isn't on reserve land. As I said, there isn't a public space.
Brennan says the group identified Lemoyne Point Farm as an ideal fit for that vision.
It became a search for a place that would be encompassing of all the options that our ancestors used to engage in, so traditional agricultural food growth, water travel, hunting and forestry, initiation with old forests, not that we would be hunting, but just having those surroundings, those natural surroundings that our ancestors were used to. And when Lemoyne Point Farm came up, it just kind of ticked all the boxes that we had been in search for over 2 years for the perfect property. And ironically, that was one that really drew us in over 2 years ago. And we began conversations over 2 years ago to start to envision what this Indigenous art studio complex could be like, and specifically on that property.
Over the past 2 years, Lodgepole Arts has been in discussions with the city about potentially acquiring the land at cost, with a commitment to preserve and maintain it as a public space. Now, with the city's purchase complete, Brennan says they're optimistic those conversations will continue. She adds that early discussions with the city, community organizations, and local partners have been encouraging, with more engagement on the way.
And we feel that our objectives are very much aligned with everything that both the public and the private organizations surrounding the farm and its saving, preserving nature agree with. Our vision is very much to basically utilize the 12 current footprints of buildings on the property. We have no intention to expand those buildings, the footprint of those buildings, because we are a land-based artistic organization, so we want to preserve as much land as possible. But we will take those buildings and utilize them to the best of our ability through Indigenous engagement, through Indigenous contractors and engineers. We currently have created a project where we have hired two row consultants out of Six Nations to come to the community in early April, actually, and do some consultation, public consultation conversations on the vision of what Lodgepole's art space, arts studio complex could look like and should look like for this area, while keeping in mind the environmental needs and conditions of the landscape. And we will use Lemoyne Point Farm as our example of it when we get that property. I'm told to say when, not if. I'm told to say when, how that would look. We're hoping that it's a win-win-win for the community, for the council, and certainly for the regional Indigenous communities and Indigenous artists from across the country, to continue conversations, to continue with public consultations as well, to ensure that this type of space that we envision is one that's welcomed in the area, and one that the community can see to, as you know, and be proud of, And certainly bring more Indigenous artistry from all facets of the country to this current space of Gatta Rockway. It's a beautiful area, and so we're just very anticipatory to continue conversations with the city and council at this stage.
As part of the process, Lodgepole Arts is inviting the community to help shape this vision. A public talking circle will be held on Wednesday, April 8th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Memorial Hall in City Hall, with an earlier session from noon to 3 for Indigenous community members.
Two row architects out of Six Nations will be leading that, a group that we are very excited to be working with, and hoping that they can help use their immense background and expertise in feasibility and looking at landscapes as potential building spaces to support the conversations here in Kingston and also across the country with artists to envision what is most needed, most desired.
And ideas for the space are already beginning to take shape.
We're very excited about taking the barn, for instance, and transforming it into a modern theater in the round, as well as a gallery space, and taking, any one of the other footprint buildings and turning it into a culinary studio, a dance studio, a weaving studio, a sculpting studio. We will also take care of the two historic buildings that are on the property, and try and keep them as rooted in there ancestral history as possible. They're beautiful limestone buildings, and knowing a little bit about that history is important to us as well. But we will also take the agricultural land that's owned that, and we would like to grow our own foodstuffs and recalibrate that soil and that need to replenish the earth. And we've talked to Highway 15 Gardens about helping to support some of those initiatives because everybody's got their gifts, and we certainly want to try and work with all those that we know have those special gifts, not just artistry, but land, ecology, climate, the same with preserving the waterfront shoreline and honing that up. And then the old growth forest, we want to try and get rid of invasives and nurture the those trees that are in there that really have been lost across this part of the whole continent, really, and revitalize that old growth.
For now, while council stated at their last meeting that no decisions are being made in the near future, Lodgepole Arts is continuing to work towards their vision of an Indigenous arts and culture hub in Kingston.
It's such a positive step that we're at right now. And I'm trying to keep myself and everybody else calm, although I struggle with not getting too excited about the potential and the possibilities, not only for the community of Kingston, but for all of the Indigenous artists that I know across this country that are very excited about the potential of the Lodgepole vision coming to reality here in Gatta Rockway.
For CFRC News, supported by the Local Journalism Initiative, this has been Christina Laurie.
Thank you, Chris. You are listening to your Queen's Campus Beat, Queen's Campus News here on CFRC 101.9 FM or online at cfrc.ca. New financial figures released at the Alma Mater Society's Corporate Annual General Meeting on March 24th show the organization is running a deficit of approximately $852,000 for the period between May 1st, 2025 and January 31st, 2026. According to AMS Vice President of Operations, the shortfall significantly exceeds earlier projections by more than $300,000. According to the AMS, a major contributor is the reopening of the Queen's Pub, which accounts for roughly $570,000 of the deficit. The pub had originally been expected to generate a surplus, but shifting student spending habits and competition with off-campus venues have reduced revenues. The updated figures suggest that that earlier financial planning relied on outdated pre-pandemic data, raising concerns about how student services will be funded moving forward. Also at the AMS Assembly meeting on March 24th, student representatives addressed multiple governance concerns, including reforms to the student fee referendum system, a broad issue affecting campus inclusion. The meeting included a presentation from the Queen's University Muslim Student Association, where their Director of External Affairs spoke about the ongoing impact of Islamophobia and identified barriers faced by Muslim students on campus. These concerns include inconsistent halal food labeling in dining halls, and limited access to appropriate prayer spaces following campus renovations. Assembly members have also discussed how referendum procedures could be made more accessible and transparent, indicating that governance reforms are likely to remain a key issue in the coming academic year. In broader Kingston news, notably in the city's downtown core, The Mansion, the restaurant and music venue, has closed after 17 years in operation, with the announcement made earlier in March on the 11th via social media. Reporting later in the month indicates that the closure came without advance notice to many employees and community members, leaving staff, student groups, and performers uncertain about next steps. The venue had served as both a hospitality space and a live music hub, making it a significant part of the local student and arts community. Its closure reflects ongoing instability in the hospitality sector, particularly for independent venues navigating rising costs and shifting post-pandemic demands. In other news, a Queen's University researcher has received national funding to advance new work on cystic fibrosis, a genetic disease that primarily affects the lungs and digestive system. Assistant Professor Dr. Lucia Lee from the Department of Chemistry has been awarded support through a Cystic Fibrosis Innovation Research Grant Program, which distributes funding across early-stage projects nationwide. Her research focuses on developing molecular strategies that could address the underlying dysfunction of the CFTR protein, which is responsible for regulating fluid movements in cells. While existing treatments attempt to repair this protein, Lee's work explores alternative approaches that could open new directions for treatment and development. You've been listening to your Queen's Campus Beat, Queen's Campus News, here on CFRC 101.9 FM.
The 2026 edition of the Queen's University Athletics and Recreation Color Awards were held late last week in the main gym of the Athletics and Recreation Center. The Color Awards recognize outstanding accomplishments on both the club and team level. Starting with the varsity clubs, the Queen's cheerleading team was recognized with the Award of Merit as the Varsity Club of the Year. 2025-26 was a historic season for Queen's Cheer, who took home a national title alongside the National Judges' Choice Award. Nathan Duffer Calder took home the Jack Jarvis Trophy as the top male athlete amongst varsity clubs for his contributions to the university's sailing team. Abby Lee of Queen's Lacrosse was awarded the Marion Ross Trophy as the top female clubs athlete. Night 2 put the focus on varsity teams. Jude Wheeler D of Queen's Cross Country was the Outstanding Performance of the Year recipient following a career season for the cross country and track teams. Wheeler D was named the OUA Cross Country Male Runner of the Year and was an integral member of the National Champion Cross Country Team. He also won 2 gold medals as a distance runner at the U Sports Track and Field Championships in the 1500 and 3000 meter events. Internationally, Wheeler D won a gold medal in the 1500-meter event at the Junior Pan American Championships while representing Canada in the summer of 2025, setting a new meet record. Quote, Jude will graduate from Queen's as its greatest male distance and middle distance athlete, said Queen's cross-country and distance track head coach Mark Bomba. Queen's football defensive back Ashton Miller Melanson took home the Jenkins Trophy as the Varsity Male Athlete of the Year, a fitting result for one of the most prolific players in Queen's football's 140-year history. Miller Melanson ended his 5-year tenure with the Gaels as a four-time OUA All-Star, and a two-time All-Canadian, and his final career interception total was 22, the most in program history. Miller Melançon was drafted by the Calgary Stampeders in the 2025 CFL Draft, and will be heading out west to begin his professional football career. The 2025 Gales football team won the Jim Tate Award as the top overall varsity team. This comes on the heels of their historic Yates Cup victory over the number one ranked seed in the country, the Laurier Golden Hawks. This Yates Cup win was the first in 16 years and gave the football team a chance to play in the Mitchell Bowl against the Saskatchewan Huskies. They would ultimately lose that game by a score of 22-11. This is your Environment Canada weather report for the Kingston region. We begin with Monday, April 6th, daytime high of 5 degrees, but it's going to feel closer to 1, with a 55% chance of precipitation late in the evening into early Tuesday morning, which means we could see up to a centimeter of snow hitting the ground here in early April. Tuesday, April 7th, daytime high of 2 degrees, but it's going to feel right around 0. Chilly conditions ahead. Wednesday, April 8th, we are going to have a beautiful sunny day here in the city of Kingston. It's going to be cold, but that sunshine will make what normally is a 3-degree day feel closer to 6 degrees. Thursday, April 9th, we're back to that lovely spring weather. Daytime high of 13 degrees in the forecast with just a 25% chance of precipitation. We're going to see mostly cloudy conditions and there will be a decent amount of wind blowing, but still much preferable to what we had. Friday, April 10th, daytime high of 10 degrees with a 65% chance of precipitation, feeling closer to 6 degrees because of the rain. Saturday, April 11th, this is more like it. 14 degrees, mix of sun and cloud. It's going to be a gorgeous spring day. And that's going to follow up into Sunday, March 12th, another double-digit day, 13 with a mostly sunny condition. And starting off next week, Monday, April 13th, we've got a 13-degree day with lots of sun in the forecast. This is your City of Kingston traffic report for the week, and just bear in mind, winter overnight street parking restrictions have been lifted as of April 1st. We begin with two long-term road closures. Barry Street to Queen is closed for construction-related activity at 283 Queen Street, and Aberdeen Street from Johnson to William is closed indefinitely to accommodate construction activity and staging in the area. We have some short-term road closures as well, including Wright Crescent at Palace Road, which is closed for a contractor to complete roadway repairs, pedestrian safety and access improvements, and traffic calming features on Wright Crescent. There is a minimal traffic disruption on Bath Road to Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard. Expect delays for the installation of intersection pedestrian signals. The city is installing intersection pedestrian signals at several locations to make it easier and safer for pedestrians to cross busy roads. They are installing these signals at the following intersections: Bath Road at Lafleur Park, Concession Street at Kings Court Avenue, and Stephen Street at Patrick Street. And that's a wrap for your City of Kingston traffic report for the week. Safe driving, everybody.
Looking for something to do this week? This is Christina Laurie coming back with K-Town's hottest events and concerts coming up this week, starting with events. Once this show wraps up, be sure to head to karaoke at Timeout Bar starting at 6 p.m., followed by Lindy Hop Swing Dance lessons at the J-Duck in Wallace Hall at 7. Trivia fans can head to One Eye Jack's at 7 and the Brass Pub at 7:45, or Something in the Water Brewing at 8. Tomorrow on Tuesday, April 7th, the Kingston Public Market runs from 8:30 to 5 in Springer Market Square. There's also a Makers Meetup at the Broom Factory at 4, and 10,000 Hours at the Kingston Grand Theatre at 7:30. On Wednesday, April 8th, Weekly Board Games Night takes place at the Royal Canadian Legion at 6, along with karaoke at Timeout Bar, also at 6. Trivia at Daft Brewing starts at 7, and karaoke continues at the Grad Club at 8. On Thursday, April 9th, the Kingston Public Market returns from 8:30 to 5. In the evening, check out Drag Bingo at Daft Brewing, kicking off at 7. There is no shortage of trivia on Thursday, with trivia at Riverhead at 7, the Grad Club at 8, Something in the Water at 8, and Queen's Pub at 9. Karaoke runs at Jersey's at 8:30 and The Buckle at 9, plus the Urban Music Social takes place at La Vida Bistro Bar at 9:30. On Friday, April 10th, a quick and cute scrapbook and card class happens at the Tet Center at 6. Trivia takes place at Wild Wings Kingston at 7, and Spring Awakening hits the Thousand Islands Playhouse in Gananoque at 7:30. Getting into the weekend on Saturday, April 11th, the Kingston Public Market comes back from 8:30 to 5. And if you want to add another shopping stop to your day, the Kingston Botanical Market takes place at the Tet Center from 10 to 3. In the evening, there's a roller skating night at Golden Links Hall in Harrowsmith at 6:30. On Sunday, April 12th, to wrap up the week, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. A needle-felted landscape workshop takes place at the Tet Center from 10 to 4:30. For those who don't want the weekend to end too soon, karaoke wraps up the night at the Merchant at 8 and keeps going at the Toucan at 10:30. Now getting into your concerts coming up this week. Tonight, the Mourning Doves play Musiki at 8 p.m. Tuesday, April 7th, Tom's Tunes Day Happy Hour Jam kicks off at the RCHA at 4. Eric Urin and Megan Bullo perform at the Coven at 5, and there's an open mic at Musiki at 8. Wednesday, April 8th, DJ Great White spins at Hotel Wolf Island at 4, followed by Sean McCullough at the Coven at 5. The Deep Dark Woods with O'Green will also be playing the Broom Factory at 7:30. On Thursday, April 9th, a midday performance takes place at St. George's Cathedral at 12:15 with Mellow's Choir and Period Instruments, Serene Sounds of the Renaissance. Lauren Carson plays the Coven at 5, Cancer Bats and guests hit the Broom Factory at 6:30, and Jeff Dunn performs at the RCHA at 7. Friday, April 10th is a packed night for music. Here's just a few. Not Guilty, Ali Pester, and Ken Jameson perform at the RCHA at 4. Micah Garvin plays the Toucan at 5. The Red Handed at Timeout at 6. Lucas Oak at the Loaf and Ale at 7. And Heatwave returns to the RCHA at 8. Then the Oreos close out the night at the Merchant at 10:30. On Saturday, April 11th, Dead Root Revival and the Millwrights play at the Broom Factory starting at 7. The Kingston Symphony presents Under Paris Skies with Jill Barber at the Grand Theater at 7:30, alongside the SOS ABBA Experience at the Spire. Tiny Horse performs at Signal Brewery at 8, and Guilty Pleasures take the stage at Tiernanog at 9. On Sunday, April 12th, closing out the week, a youth open mic happens at the Broom Factory at 1, followed by Dawson Gray and Connor Wicklum at 7:30. Castle, Sweetleaf, and Sweet Machete perform at Daft Brewing at 7:30. An Elton John tribute show takes place at the Spire at 7:30, and James Gordon performs at Hotel Wolf Island starting at 8:15. That's just a look at what's happening around Kingston this week. Have an event you'd like to add to our online and on-air calendar? Reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. For more details on these events, check out the full calendars on cfrc.ca. Thank you for tuning in to CFRC's local news programming. To revisit episodes of Today in YGK and listen on the go, be sure to head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Today in YGK is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada, the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and the Screening Room at screeningroomkingston.com. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.